Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Oh, this is wonderful, and glad to be here. See another day. We have we have opportunities to get more knowledge to develop ourselves, and so that in our weakness we are strong. Okay, are you listening to the? You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio Network, and I am the host, Tim Aldred. The show is Cosmic Philosopher. It is wonderful to be in a position where our minds are getting enlightened. Hey, I am going out. What I want to explain right now, you know, we have inherited a weak mind. I can't say that for everybody because I don't know how weak other people are, except that when I hear what people say and see the way they behave, I can make my judgment off of that because there's nothing to question. When you see the evidence and you are not short of good judgment to know when somebody right or wrong something, right? I tell you, what I have read and know about the BC era and the people that live back there, that is number one evidence, you see. And from many other points of view where we interact with humanity and you see where some people's minds are, what their conviction is, their worldview, and when you know what changes you have made because of the corruption around you, that's a good position to be in. And knowing that though it may to us seems long since we were born, and well, let's say we have quite a bit of youthfulness in us, we may not be even thinking about getting old at this point. But the wiser we get at the youngest age, the best thing happening to us, because the intangible thought, whenever we experience good intangible thoughts about the past, the present, and the future, it puts us in a good position to start behaving ourselves in a way we couldn't have if we were not getting our mind fed knowledge that restrain us and make us don't want to have anything to do with that. You see? You don't want anything to do with that. What I see is it is very difficult for people to culture their minds, to see the sensible thing. Then it's hard for us to culture our mind with sensible thing that sustain us without we fall down and get dirty up and try to clean up and move on again. It's not easy when you get dirty up to try to clean up and move on again. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's best when you are in a position to receive these good thoughts, and when strong evil wind blowing you, like want to blow you away out of your good senses, when you can sustain yourself through those turbulence, when thoughts in your head are not the thoughts you want, and they are fighting to stay because it's like there's a good place in your brain for it, but your spirit don't want that. And if you can hold on until the wind passes away, that's nice, because it is not going to take it's not going to be an easy experience for you to consciously live through that. It's very abnormal. And when you are able to, like, to some places inside of your brain where you could stall, you know, and wait for the moment to go away. And, you know, it's like you're flying through the fog. My friends, you know, today, I am thinking about the problem, what you call it, the mucky societal world that we are in, because there is a scripture that says every place is dirty. You know, I think it's in the Isaiah 28. Yeah. There are some things here, you know, in some part of the scripture. But if you bungle up the good things in the Bible, the context of them make you know whether you're reading something clean in the Bible, because the Bible is not produced by no prophet like we believe. There's no prophet that write anything in the Bible, but there are some of the, say, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Look, there's not much of it, but I can point to a few. And I can tell you a few of the chapters in Isaiah that I find. You see, and sometimes not, is only certain part of the chapter as well. It's not like all of the chapter. You find some things stated on these Bible writers of Europe. They have a way of putting in a little good something and then muddy it up with a lot of them European nonsense. And if you're not reading well, you won't see it and or understand what I am saying, because it's not easy to see the right things in some things that are said. And it is not because it's there, it's not because it's not there, but let's say your sense of context may not allow you to get through that. But somebody who is, you know, let's say, up to date with understanding when something is mixed together and can separate it, then that person will understand it well. But I can tell you, and I'm not saying I have it all down for all of the places in the book of Isaiah that tell you good stuff. But if you read it and follow the context, you can tell when the rest of what it says is not what you want. Now, you're not going to be able to find what I am saying to make good sense if you believe already and your mind infected with Bible will not making any sense. Anybody, I will say, and if you don't like what I say, we could talk about it, okay? But I'm free to say what I find to be so. And I'm prepared, if you call me and you're going to talk to me in any kind of way, I mean, if we do talk, that's what I am trying to say. If we get to talk at any time, I will bring the evidence to whatever you will want me to talk about or address about concerning what I say. All right? But I find, let's say, some in the 40 from 40 But no, it begins like from almost the start of the book of Isaiah. And you read like Isaiah, chapter 11, you will find some things that, you know, make some sense. But you can't read it with the concept of Adam and Eve in the garden, because it don't work, it don't go together at all. Now, you notice, I don't say anything yet about the New Testament, because nothing in the New Testament is true. That's a fact. Genesis to Revelation, not true. If you find anything in there is true, it's not about the creation story. So something may be pushed in there that is true, but it's not. It's like a car with a little bit of gas in the tank. If you think the Bible is all that a word of God, no, it's not. You know, some things in there that I hold to be words from the gods, the Elohim, but not the God of the Bible that they call monotheism God. No, no. So I want you to get me clearly that some things in the Old Testament that I find to be good, the Lord is speaking to us, but you have got to be able to, your mind has got to be tuned and set to understand what is good from what is bad in the Old Testament. But I am saying to you, this is a big one. I'm saying nothing in the New Testament is designed for civilized people. I'll go as far as that. Make it complete. So if anybody want to pick up something to me about God and Jesus, bring it to me. Bring it to me, Missy. Because I don't find anything in the New Testament belonging to civilization people. I don't see it. Because the foundation of it is God in Genesis. God is lying in Genesis about creation and about Adam and Eve. God is lying big time. God lie in Genesis, which is the beginning of the book. God is lying in there. Jesus, when in the New Testament, is all lie. And the New Testament is rest upon Jesus. So if Jesus is a lie, and his father is a lie, both of them are liars. Both of them are only characters that never existed. So if you want to know how badly off we are in this world, check out the Bible. Check it out. And if you continue with your believing mind, what I said don't make no sense. Because I didn't make no sense when I started off for 7 years of age until I was like about 62 years of age or so. The Bible was not making any sense when I didn't spot any place in the Bible that I condemned. All of those years, I began to read everything, not just Bible, but read words, issues, anywhere. And I come into the Bible and I begin to find out that, oh, I've been reading over things that are lies and never identify them. They're lies that God is telling, that Jesus is telling, that Apostle Paul is telling. And the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are, 100% lies. The point is, I don't want anybody to feel insulted by what I'm saying. If you feel insulted by what I'm saying, although I am speaking in a way to avoid somebody to be insulted by what I'm saying, and like, you know, people should respect other belief and stuff like that. You don't respect belief. Belief is one thing. You don't respect. Because belief is not like knowledge, you know. If you learn something and have the knowledge and you telling me about it, if I know about it and it is true, I see it the same way, you and I are going to agree with each other, you know, and as long as it's the good thing and we okay with it. But what if you think you know something and I think I know the same thing and you have a different interpretation about it? Well, we should talk, right? And the words are going to decide it. Now, what happens when one of us have it wrong? And when we do a word check, we find out who is wrong. Some people will not know. No matter how you use the word and break it down, break down the definitions. Some people not going to know here are bullfoot. No. They will become like what the New Testament said. Your mind must be unnatural before you understand the things in the Bible. How can your mind understand anything correctly when it is not functioning? Because that's what it means. They can't put a different meaning to the word believe or to knowledge. You have to take those words for exactly what the definition says in the authority book. But we go by. You don't go by what your mind begins to tell you after you grow up and do whatever you want and make your own laws. No, that's not the way it works. You have got to, anything you are reading, not just Bible, you have to follow words. Plain. And you might have to go back and re-educate yourself to understand what I'm saying. But I'm simply saying words. You can't twist the words to fit what you want it to fit. So it's not the way civilization works. Plain and simple. So I was just trying to tell you about how nasty our world, condition our world is in. Okay? And it is the Bible here that I will use to, like, tell you what I'm talking about. I'm going to read a little portion of Matthew 28 chapter. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a devouring storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Now, this is verse 2. And I have been reading this portion of Isaiah, and like I tell you, it is exemplified from many other chapters in Isaiah. And I can read other chapters that tell you some things that don't read in the context like this. What I'm reading here, I'm reading in the 28th chapter. And this sounds like the Lord is speaking to his people, unlike other places. And I'm telling you that how these writings get into the Bible, it has to be by a spiritual means by which it gets into this Bible. Because if these white people were very knowledgeable about these other things here that condemn evil and the evil that they do. As you can see, the Bible talks about God make male and female, and they are homosexual with a Bible that is talking against homosexuals. So you can see how, you know, the condition that we are in, and we are dealing with the crucial state of our mind, our brain. That's what is at stake here. And many of us are so altered. Our brain is so altered because we have too much disease in this third hemisphere that we get from European people, because they come from apes. And we come from Africa. 100,000 years ago, when we left Africa, we were not sick. We did not have any disease. Okay? All right. So when we read what they call a Bible, and we find some things that they would continue strange, because the church don't preach these chapters that I'm, like what I'm reading right now. They don't read it, because if they read it, they would be like talking to our sense that don't have the understanding, and a sense, a brain and a mind that their disease destroy. But if your mind is clean up and heal to where you are able to understand what you're reading, you will know the difference. All right. We are in a situation where, let's say, from Africa to the Western world, we are all mentally ill. We don't have a government. We under white people rule. You don't know why, and you can't help. So you think that the God that they're preaching and talking to you about, and that prophesying about, you think is a good God that created us, giving prophecy to us, like say Jesus died for us? In that is a lie. The story of Adam in a garden and Adam in the Bible, they are lying about this story. But the way we grew up, nobody is around to tell us, because everybody is under the damage of their disease that's scattered all over the place. They push it to us, you know, I mean, like talk about they're giving you vaccination and all this kind of, these white people come to learn to read long of millions of years after they evolved, and they were not talking. They are not human being, okay. So what you're seeing right now, it's not the primates of whole. You're looking at their offspring, okay, that they call the new version of them, Homo erectus. Okay, that's the offspring of the monkeys of long time ago, right? So it is this Homo erectus that interbreed with our blood. Why they began to talk, before they began to talk, they started with our species, the Neanderthals. That is our species. If you understand, human species is two blood, not three, but two blood. Which means our ancestors that spring up in Africa. In Africa. Okay? It does not speak of that earthly our first parents. Okay? So that parents' blood was mixed with the Elohim God's blood. That's why we are called children of the Most High. If we don't understand what the history tells us about ourselves and our beginning, we are going to fill up with all kind of foolishness, with nobody, let's say, like I am here and telling you things, and you may be affected by what I'm saying and want to really straighten out where you know about church and Jesus died on the cross, and you want to know the real truth, because I'm saying it's not the truth they might tell us in the Bible about God and Adam and Eve in the garden. That's not true. But how are you going to find out if what I'm saying is true? We have world history, Glencoe world history, that tells us exactly where life is coming from and human species. It tells us about it, right? That's where I get it and find out. So most people today, even though they go to university, they don't know these type of information, just like I didn't know for going like about 60 and more years. I didn't know, but a more serious, careful reading caused me to find out. Okay, so I am saying to you now, what has happened to us as African people? When you read in the Bible about talking serpent, and that man has fall from grace and turn against their God. The God where them talking about in the Christian Bible is no God whatsoever. They make up that God. European white people make up that God, right? And scatter out all over the place. Go into Egypt and talk things like it Egyptian, talking the things that they are saying, and it's not true. And they scatter themselves in different groups all over the world to infiltrate us African, because there's only two species, human species and the ape species. Hominid, Homo erectus. Only two species. And they attack our people. When we were journeying from Africa to come into the Western Hemisphere, it doesn't go any other way. And it doesn't matter who is going to, like, say, come on this radio and try to convince, you know, like, people around the world listening right now to what I am saying. And how to change from the belief of what we are taught years and years ago in Christianity church, when there was nobody else saying something different, or take a book and come and show that what they're talking about Abraham is not true. No, we never hear anything like that. We think about Abraham and Abraham's children, and we think that a God from out of the cloud talked to Abraham on earth. We believe that. And there was nothing else for us to understand. All right. So it is like strange when someone begin to pay attention to reading on what like the Bible is saying and other type of information saying, and find out that, oh my God, we are in the wrong world. It's difficult to understand when your attention is not called to it. Okay? So, right now I'm saying I am attacking the Bible, and I'm telling that you have some good things in here, and where you find it. And me say the entire New Testament no good for civilization people. And when it comes to civilization, and you ask anybody at all, what is civilization? What I'm going to tell you is not what civilization is. Because if I ask you, who create the first calendar? Who create, the day of the week? The first day of the week, right? You can call the first day of the week any name you want to call it, but who call it the first time is who name what a week is. Day one, day two,
You know, you can call day one blue, you can call day two, you know, white or whatever it is, but it has to be in order. Day one, day two, day three, right on to day seven, right? 7 days make 1 week. Who plan 7 days to be 1 week? It is a mathematical requirement. Why? It is named those numbers. If you could come and revise it and make it a week is 8 days, who would you be making it for? What type of a people would you now start a life with a week, 8 days a week? All right. So now, that is going to be, if anybody want to go somewhere and go start a world themselves, they will do that, right? Right now, why are we confusing what we have then? If who is confusing it did not make it, why we who follow it should go after them? Well, this is the problem. We African people, we are called indigenous people. We are the first human being created on planet Earth. And there is nothing in history I know of that reverses that. We need to understand where we come from, and we can't get that from the Bible. We cannot get the truth, us and our Creator, from the Bible and any white people institution, because by the time we know where white people come from, you know what? You don't have nothing to do with Christianity. And that's a fact. It's hard to swallow, but it is a fact. All right. And I want to get over the point I'm trying to make to you, that to get away from foolishness, get away from Genesis creation story in the Christian Bible, and what to do after that. Go to Sumerian, Mesopotamia, and all these countries of old under BCE era. You have to go on the BCE era or BC era. You have to go under those writings from back there, and you're reading polytheism, story about time and the human life. White people are not humans. And if you take white people for human, you will perish with foolishness in your head. You see what I mean? For one thing, you're going to start feel like you're turning against from what is right. But what is going to make you right is the right story about your origin. How do you know the difference between what is right and the wrong story? Well, if you learn to read and you're reading properly, you read and know when you're reading foolishness. You should be able to do that. And if you are living by the concept of believing things, and when you talk, you say, you ask people, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Well, your head and reading properly is not achieved. You have to begin to read and follow the definitions of the words that you're reading. And you will always be kept sound in your mind with your interpretation of what you're reading. And you don't wobble all over the place. You know exactly what you read. Just like a statement somebody speak to you. Somebody speak to you and you understand exactly what they say. You don't twist. When you read in the Bible, you need to follow words like that. Now, if you start reading a paragraph and that gives you a context to follow the story, you don't assume what you read. Don't assume what you read. You follow the words, and you didn't know this before, but now you know because you read. And because you're reading properly, you don't let it get away from you. What if somebody come and start saying something different? You know the context of that already, so you don't make somebody come and twist you with it. It must be a general comprehensive thing with the way you read words and how you interpret them. There's nothing wrong with interpreting a word, but you have got to have the sense to do it properly, because it cannot be interpreted whichever way you want to be interpreted, because it has context. It has all those rules to keep you understanding the issue that you are exposed to. You don't let anybody mess up your head with that. So I am able to tell you now who believe in the Christian Bible and Genesis creation story, a time when it didn't matter what it says to me. I believe it anyway. Time when my brain become more responsive and keen to what I'm reading. You see what I mean? And if you and I read the same thing, we understand words the same way, we're not going to say different things. So it means if somebody is differing about the same thing, something is wrong with their reading sense. That's true. So if you're out there and you're wondering, how can you get out of confusion? I'm telling you, don't believe in Genesis creation story, because that's where your head become destroyed. Genesis, because it's telling about a creation that never exists, and a God that never exists, a God that they said begot a son, never exists, a son, Jesus Christ, never exists. And you would read it in the Bible, and I did not, for years, didn't see that the Bible itself is telling you that Jesus don't exist, based on what they are saying about Jesus. It's just like somebody come and tell you about some people and what they are saying about those people. You can't make no sense of it. And you are a well-read person. You have experience of going here and there all about the world. Those you have never met on anything, anywhere, like what somebody is telling you. So you have to start looking at this person as though something got to be wrong with their minds, because they're not coming to you and give you a up-to-date history book or something like that to give you time and place and everything to let you know it's what they are saying is true. When I say to you that there was the gods above that came to earth, not spirit, outside a body gods. These were actual beings, but higher. They are of flesh too, but not human flesh. You see, and you can go to Africa and see, and you don't have to go there, because you have links right now that I can give you where scientists group go into South Africa. And of course, since the gods been here and do the work over there and gone back like about some 6,000 years, we of today will not know what happened in South Africa unless some history is going to tell us. But with the white people and the church, they don't want us Africans to know anything about that. They want us to believe in Jesus Christ that never exists, and promise of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those things are not true. So if you, like I know my parents, believe that because nobody was around to tell them anything different, this is the kind of bad world we're in. Come around to this point that I want to tell you. Yes, we are created by Elohim God, not a Bible monotheism God. These white people set up the system to put up churches. Africa never put up church. If you see we have put up church, it just didn't start a long, long time ago. We are adapted to keep Christian belief as a faith. It is not. It's not concerning African people. Christianity is something that we must learn is not for us. Okay? And if the Bible was saying the good things and Old Testament, the covenants, the old covenants in the Old Testament and the New Testament covenant, and Jesus is the high priest. I used to read all that about Jesus is the high priest now, you know, that is the Christian. And when I come to find out now, there is not even the dust of truth about God begot a son. When I research that, do a word discovery, the people who believe it and don't care about reading knowledge about it, oh no, they're not going to listen to this. They're going to say, I believe. I have a cousin right now, I'm having problems communicating with him. We are good friends, but the friendship is not affected in the raw context. However, he has to be feeling bad because he know wrong from right, but he grow up with believing something as in the natural sense. All right? Now, I grew up with that too, but then lighten come into my mind. And therefore, the reality I see now is a reality that goes anywhere in the planet, on the planet, and nobody will be able to contradict what I say. Because what I am saying is like, all right, human being walk on two legs. And you can't change that. We have two eyes in our forehead. We have, you know, things that make us human being. We're not like goats or pigs or something like that. Or real humans don't look like white people. Because white people are not human being. They don't come from human being. They come and mix with the blood with human being and turn human being idiots. That's the reason why we are here today, are victim of white people. Okay? And that is the real fact. And if you're doing well and making money and stuff like that, that's cool. But if you're taken up on reading the Bible, you're going to get tossed away when you face certain things that they write about Jesus that you have been only believing. And it's just like, it's a type of believing we have in the church. Cannot know anything wrong with anything in the Bible. It's like a man and a woman meet for the first time, and they begin to feel affection for each other, and they begin to talk and you know, and begin to get close to each other. Now, how much do you think if the hands of God did not lead them, and then no hands of God lead them, which of course we don't know about that. We know that we have a spirit in us connected, we will be shown and directed how to live and how to suspect things and know what to do. All right. Normally, when we are not up on that level where we are getting the best guidance and perception of people, you know, in the natural sense, you don't know anything about that person, right? Let's put it on that level where you think God is guiding you and all that, but you don't get there where God is guiding you that much, right? And you may be on the way. You grow. But when you're at a level where, you know, your flesh is talking a lot to you and you try to stay on the right side, but now you're not as inspired as you might think. So now you get close to this person. I mean, you have goodwill because it happened to me. I never, like, you know, I thought I was following the right way and everything like that. But, you know, I get off into things that I couldn't manage. And it don't work right. So what I'm trying to tell you now is that when you believe that you are being led right and you do certain things and find out that it don't come out right, then you begin to say God has a plan, you know, or God know what he's doing and he knows why it happened, and you blame it off on God that it is God's will. And when it is not God's will at all, it's a matter that you're not developed enough to see when something is wrong and, you know, to go out and look at a person and hear they say certain things, seeing more into their eyes and their good looks than anything else, right? That's how belief works when we don't get acquainted with the fact of our origin. You are driven by believing, assuming. That's what happened. All right. So what I'm saying here now, and the point I want to come to, is that we as African people are mixed up so much in the world that we hardly know who is human from what is not human being. All right? All right. We are a species, and the way to identify ourselves is to go through the species. Who is who? We're not going by that now. We don't know. We don't identify each other by no species. But that is the only thing in blood to make us know who is your bloodline. Okay? So if you're living a confused life, this is what I'm trying to say. Stop reading foolishness. And foolishness is in the very creation story you're reading in Genesis. That story is foolishness. Jesus' belief is foolishness. Foolishness. The white people, they make a whole bunch of Jesus before them come with this white man, and they are making up a story of the Hebrew people. We who come from Africa and come up into the Western world first, and whilst they trouble us, attack us when we are leaving, yes, it's many, many years we are suffering under their disease, until their disease become a part of us and we are accustomed to just dealing with their disease. But our brain gone and we don't know. That is what make us lose our proper brain. All right. What I want to bring to you is something that I read a while ago in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and like I'm telling you, the Bible is not our book, but there are some things in there, and it's a good thing that they could be hidden in the Bible, and the white people, they don't make anything of it. But when I start to read them, I know what I get out of it, different from what I get out of Genesis creation story, and much of the other books them in the Old Testament, right? So what I want to tell you now is one of the things that points to the relationship between the gods and we who have the blood of the gods in us. We are called hybrid people. Hybridization method brought us into life, okay? Like what they call test tube baby. That was the first test tube baby process when we were created in South Africa. And it sounds strange, but that's the truth. I don't see it any place else. All right. We now who got spoiled up by the white people them because they are the ones who use their disease and we got out of the way. We lose our connection with our gods because of that. And the white people them write the Bible and write all these foolishness about fallen angels, about talking serpent, and about a God, this and that, and write about a Jesus. They make up the whole story to just throw us into never, never land. And our thinking is not one that has the light of the gods inside of us. We are in a vortex of darkness. So unless we come and get a good sight of the kind of things we should read and know where it come from, because it has a complete different distinction and force in it, energy in it, different from what you're reading in the Bible, and everybody have their little piece of it and tell you about Jesus, this Jesus, that, when there are knowledge in the very Bible to let you know that the Bible is telling lies about God and Jesus. Those characters never exist. Never exist. Right? And we would think that, they have to exist, because who make this and who make that? That's not the case. We are turned into a lower level thinking people, and our perception and all that, not good. It takes just raw reading and context of what you read to make you identify anything that is true from when it is not. Okay? All right. So we are all here stumbling all over and cannot get back to ourselves. Now, here is an appeal to us now who are lost and astray. All right? Here is the appeal now. You are approaching something in the Bible that is going to talk to you as someone who is going to be affected by what they hear. It don't sound like anything else. All right, this is what I'm going to start reading to you, and see if you get something that makes you feel and think different. Here it goes. Isaiah 28. And remember, I tell you, you don't read these things all over Isaiah, because there is phony writing in the book of Isaiah as well. But a proper thinker, proper reader, will know the difference. And that's why I'm making the distinction now, so you don't get me wrong. Because you go into Isaiah 9, chapter 9 and 6 and 7 verses. And that has a prophecy about a Messiah come to save us and stuff like that. You can't find the fulfillment of that prophecy in the New Testament. This is what I'm trying to say. You go into Isaiah 58, and there's a whole bunch of lies. They're talking about what happened in Palestine, and we take it to be like, oh, a real Jesus was crucified, when it is not true. In Isaiah 53, who art believe our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We read that, and we are reading about these Sodomites who come and invade us there and kill us and take over our place. Until this day, we don't have Palestine. Right? There's always a war about Palestine and these European people there. Right? They take it all over. Everywhere we have, they come and take it over. Which place do we have here today? Not even Africa is ours. Because Africa is no longer operating our government. That is kingship, government jurisdiction. They don't. They turn fool. We all turn fool, and that's what I'm saying. And I tell you how long I've been, you know, not understanding until I start to read. It's not from anybody. It is I'm reading. So therefore, if you start reading with me and we follow the context, you will see what I'm talking about, because what you believe for years and I believe for years, I'm going to tell you, see, where it's telling you here is not true. All of what you're reading is not true in this paragraph. It's not true. All right, so that's what I'm trying to get you to sense out of what I'm saying. In Isaiah 28 chapter. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. All right, unhurt here today. When we are here stumbling all over each other, and verse 2 come in to say, behold the Lord at a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a devouring storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the hearth with the hand. Do you understand that? This is saying that the gods, they are prepared someone on planet Earth is going to be as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty water overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. What does that mean? One of us who will gain light in our brain once again, and that's the way our character will be. A lot of things are going to happen by one person to change the way we are suffering and come back to our senses. This is going to happen. And that vile things are going to happen to those who don't take heed and begin to turn themselves in the right direction. And those who are adversaries of the gods will be wiped out. But one person, they are going to give these characters to change things. So look around you and see what you see. So it goes on. In the third chapter, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden on the feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he heateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Just a second. Yes. All right. To the residue of his people. Let me get my line back here. So it says, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it, while it is yet in his hand, he heateth up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment, for all tables, describing the way we are here living, for all tables full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Look around you. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stumbling lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest, and the is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That's what I wanted to read to you. There are some other places in Isaiah. So when I take my stand with the Bible, it's just that I'm just making distinction that is needed. Because we are in a world where, you see, it's full of evil all around. It says vomit is, you know, everywhere. So you can see people dressed up and going on with all kind of things here, right? Think about this guy Buffett that used to sing a song that got popular over the past few years, a few decades. And today they are holding a lot of marching and singing and paying homage to this singer. Margarita, I think, is the name of the song. Now, what kind of knowledge anybody get over all these years? That's a country song, I think. And, you know, it's a nice music according to us here in these days, because we're not accustomed to real spiritual and song of a higher knowledge. You know, this is only talking about people existence. We're not talking about the higher existence that someone has in their soul. in their spirit. That's not what this this song that, you know, that this guy sing, that people all over the place is, you know, is like keeping memorial for him. Those things, I remember back, I was much younger back in those days, you know, it was not a song that I was head over ears on. But it is a nice hearing music, and it's not a dirty lyrics or anything like that. So, but what I'm trying to say to you is, like, a popular song like that, that people today would commemorate the singer. What do they have over the years that they've been singing this song and stuff like that? What does it do for them? It doesn't do anything when it talk about for civilized people, because he may be a European and stuff like that. But what I'm talking about is what I read about in the scripture a while ago. It doesn't pertain to people who revere a song like that as though it really brought them some knowledge and lift them up to a higher level of civilized life. That song don't do that, right? And a lot of the Elvis Presley and all of these other popular people, they don't help. And when you go to a ball game, and you like to go to ball game, different ball games, you know, even boxing. I watch boxing too, right? For a certain type of a brain, you know, observation. But I don't like to see boxers bloody up each other. I don't like that. And, you know, that is a part of the game that, you know, if you beat up a guy and stuff like that, you'll get higher rating for doing it and stuff. That's not the type of world that we should be living. We have better knowledge to increase the things we do. It depends on what you do, right? So if you don't choose to do quality things, you'll just go on with the bees them down singing down there in the goat. So what I'm emphasizing is this. We need to pay attention to our reading. Because if we don't pay attention to our reading, we wind up to be believers in things that we will never get knowledge to see the truth, okay? And you believe so tightly to something, and there is nothing that is in your sight that you can reach out to learn better. You stay there and believe all these things because you think that's the way the world was created to be, and that's not true. Creation story that we believe for many, many years, not true. And I am saying there's a way to get out of those foolishness, and that is to gratify our reading ability. Make sure you are reading and finding out things in the world, and know when, you know, back way back in time, in the old, in antiquity, what happened back there, rather than here sucking on to Christianity. That is not true. Want to know the truth should be our interest. So I want to get this across. I want to get it across to you that the world is turned upside down because of white people, homosexuals. They don't want that to be the perception of them, white people. But why do they follow the African people to the Western world and begin to kill them? Kill us like they're killing some animal that is not needed. Why do they do that to the African people and claim that they are that they dominate? They dominate us. They take away everything we have. They learn everything from us because they never were humans of any kind. But now, they are not humans, and they are not the ape that they were, except it's their species, but they now crossbreed, and they are not the same type of a species that they were. They are just half of that species, right? And if you want to say they are half of sapien species, but hey, they don't come from the root. They cannot be sapien species. White people cannot be sapien species. They have to be who they originate as. They can interbreed as much as they want, but they will never be another species. They can't change that. And here we are, too off drunk with foolishness because of what happened in Ancestry Gone. If we don't come and read properly, we won't know what happened. We have our government still sitting down. We are the same first civilized people, and guess what happened? Because we turned fool, we can't even argue that. Because these white people come along, and none of us make any sense for them. I am making some sense, though. I am making some sense. And I may not be known and well known to most of the world, but I am sure that what I am reading and what I am saying is true. And nobody, the people who have the guts to face me, they run. They never, like one guy yesterday came on the show. He's a faggot, okay? He's a European. He started out talking fairly well. And, you know, I treat people, you know, the way they come, right? We talk until, you know, he finds himself in a lot of trouble. And I look, whether or not you like it or not, I have suffered enough, right? So that what you hear me saying right now, I am not, if you don't know me and stuff like that, you're not going to find out quickly what kind of person I am. But I'm not looking anything from anybody. I'm not looking for friends or nothing. I just look for the truth, and whatever truth I know, because I know what I'm saying is scarce. You never find anybody coming up and blast the church or not like that and tell you Jesus never exists and Jesus never want to die for us. Reading of the Bible and show you that Jesus never want to die either. And we don't pay that any attention. We still believe in Jesus. And you're reading in the Bible that Jesus never want to die for our sin. When in the Bible it says he and his father decree before the world began that he would come and die for us. And when it came to the time in the Bible when these idiots are writing that Jesus was supposed to die, Jesus was a prayer to his father like 3 times in Gethsemane. Him no want to die for our sin. And him no give no reasons that we should know the reason why him didn't. And in the prophet of Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Jesus go out and do miracles with his disciples and feed like about how many thousand, about 5,000 people with 2 fish and 3 loaves or something like that. And when everything was over, he tell them to, you know, they heat and left so much and, you know, and unused. So he tell them to take up that, you know, what they didn't heat and, you know, and store it because it's good. Yeah. All right. The people who saw him, I'm telling you about St. John. You know, a lot of people probably think like I'm just making up now, but it is St. John in the book, in the New Testament, St. John 6, 15. St. John 6, 15. I think I'm right about that, okay? St. John 6, 15. And I don't want to confidence because my my memory is not all that like before, where I keep certain things. All right, but and maybe right now, okay. But I like to check. Don't want to step back anything. I think I am right here. Okay, 6. All right. Yes, St. John 6:15. This is New Testament. He says, start at 14. He says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. All this is 100% lie. And it depends on the scripture in the Old Testament that when they should be writing fulfillment for Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, they write in a blasphemous thing that Jesus himself is committing. How could Jesus do these miracles? And then when the people who he fed begin to say, it is the this is the lie, the circular lie that we don't get to realize when we are believers. You have got to be somebody who is reading to find this type of trouble that is poisoning us every day of our lives that we believe them. Jesus, as they have written this, you know, you don't want anybody to be more stupid and out of their, you know, good state of mind. This is an unnatural mind reading this when the Bible says, as a Christian, when you believe this, you don't see the lie that they're telling. You don't see the lie. So it takes a mind that is not working to read this and don't see the lie. That's what I'm saying. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14, they are telling you that when your mind is natural, you don't understand the things of the Bible. So if your mind is not natural, how can you do anything in life? When if your body as a whole is not natural, naturally functioning, and it is functioning unnaturally, how are you going to get through life? But that's what the Bible tells you. And you will believe this Bible for as long as you live, and you don't realize that they lie to you. Since, I tell you, from my childhood until I am about 60, I believe everything in the Bible. I didn't see this. But I see it now. Follow this story now. I wasn't following it all along. I was hearing all of these things here and never saw that something went wrong with what they said. So it is telling you now, this Jesus who is supposed to fulfill the Isaiah prophecy, unto us a child is born, son is given, the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and that he shall be crowned upon the throne of David. In Isaiah, now here, when the men, them that saw Jesus did the miracles, he says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. Remember Isaiah said in Isaiah 9 that he would be crowned a king. Okay? And Jesus himself, no, he's thinking. Before he thinks to get ready to be crowned, to carry out the mission that God his Father sent him for, Jesus is busy here. King say, oh my gosh, they're going to come to make, to crown me. And therefore, me don't want them crown me. That's what the Bible is saying right in John 6. And I start at the 14th verse, and now I am reading the 15th verse. And this is what is in the Bible, and Christian in the millions, believe it. like me, for about 60 years or so, and didn't know until I start read and follow words. And this is what it does. And if you read St. Matthew 2, chapter, tell you another lie about wise men follow a star with all kind of incense for baby Jesus. Clearly, so many places in the New Testament is Jesus himself denying the fact that he's no Jesus whatsoever. That's a fact. Everywhere in the New Testament is telling that. Because everything they're telling about Jesus is a lie. And the short way of just knowing that the whole thing stinks is to just understand that God having a son, begotten a son, cannot be true. So if you want to make something out of nothing, of which you're not able to do that, you can do that with God and Jesus and think that, okay, well, God can do anything. So you're getting something out of nothing, which means that you believe it, it makes you a fool. You see what I mean? All right, so Jesus now is thinking to himself, they're coming to crown him because they now find out that he's making these great miracles and stuff like that. And say, this is who the prophets speak about. And now they think that, oh, so now we must crown him because this is the one the prophets say we should crown, not Nagasa. So it goes on to say this. It goes on to say, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down to the sea. They don't know where he is. No, according to the writing here. And entered into a ship. Yes, he entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. But he get together with them after that. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I am not fooling you in no sense. And it's a grim finding that a Bible that I grew upon and my parents were really, really Christians. And I came up and I followed their step and I believe everything as an adult until this happened. I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. And I hope that you may find something. And, you know, you eat food and you're belly full and you go to bed at night and you wake up next morning and you have breakfast and stuff. You have to keep on eating. Well, you know, the food is not, is only giving you strength for you to live your life, to think, you know, and it's your energy in your mind that make you do the things you want to do. You see what I mean? All right. So I'm saying, if you don't get to feed on the truth, your life is going to amount to nothing. And if you think you're going to go to heaven, forget about it, because your plan that is based upon God and Jesus don't exist. It's for you to do what you have your mind to do, is to think and make decision. I am not coaching anybody to do anything. I mean, I'm not pushing anybody. I'm bringing the information. And whosoever think it wrong, the duty is come talk to me, because that's why I'm here. I'm not running anywhere. Okay? That guy I was talking to, he fell. I was talking to you. He's a homosexual guy, because when he came on, he started talking like he was a civilized gentleman. But later on, we go into deep waters and he drowned. And boy, he was telling me, oh, you know, like calling out from the dust and yelling and carrying on. He's going to kill me. He's going to meet me somewhere. He's going to this. He's going to that. Simply because he was caught. You know what I mean? And like, oh, he's going to have to kill me. I said, what do I do, you? You know? he met up with the right person. Not somebody who he wants to kill, but somebody he wants to run away from. Really. And this is what is happening. My friends, it is strange for you to find somebody to talk to you like this. And I can't do better but talk this way, because I'm not running away from myself. I am staying in myself. And what comes out of my mouth is up to somebody to come and let's sit in this cozy, quiet, and welcome place. Because as you put your hand up here, I'm going to open the mic. Because I don't sit here and talk, and let somebody get tired and go away. No, I'm ready to open the mic. Anybody come here? And it's either going to be good or bad. But I can tell you, I am well coached. I am well coached. And I'm not working for no fee. Okay? I'm not. Nobody paying me as no human paying a human to work, right? I don't have an institution that I'm getting money in or anything like that. Talk about a couple books that, you know, I have got to print. But the fact truth is, I begin to write these things when I can't even write well. Right? But somebody is going to edit these things and say what I say in an academic way where somebody understands what I'm saying. So it's not somebody else. He's talking to you. It's me. It's my words. Every one of them. So editing don't speak for you. It only put what you're saying in proper reading format. Okay? All right. So this is my thing. If anybody buys one of those little books, you know what? They may not pay for what I did, my time and the money that I paid to get it done. They may not. It may take a long time before they pay anything for that. But let's say I get something to use. I'm using back the money that I pay. And if there's anything else, I guess, is brought up. I am not looking for no wealth, because I didn't make any plan to write anything to sell. And beside that, I am talking about Christianity. Who do you think is going to jump and buy a Christian book in at this time for me to make $1 million? No, I don't see that. So I don't have any way of depending on that. And I am just talking about book now. You hear me been talking. How much time you hear me talk about my book? How many times? And do I sound like I'm somebody who's trying to sell a book? Do I? Now, if I were trying to sell a book, I think I know better than doing what I am doing. I can't say it would be something better in truth, but if I knew that is money I want. I don't want to affect somebody's life with something that they find is more reasonable than what they are thinking. If I wanted to make money, I wouldn't be talking the way I'm talking. Because I tell you, a lot of people don't want me talking here on this network. A lot of people don't want it to happen. And they are against African people who own the world. We own the world. We hybrid people, but they get something to go ahead and do whatever they want to do and throw their blood, their bad disease on us. So we're not prospering this way. Okay, so it's a great fortune to me to be reading myself and find out that I'm reading lies I always believed and did not know it. All right, listen, I have about like 12 minutes or so to go, and I have a little more to say, and I'm going to try to say it before the time is up. The Europe invaders coup, many lies for the removal of who staged the coup. Okay? Many lies for the removal of who staged the coup. The Europe invaders coup. You see? It's a coup, and we don't know about it, and we keep on going in the same old way, and we won't find out anything. We keep on praising Jesus. All right. Number one, what government ruled in 509 BC? Do you know? The Roman Republic was founded in 509 BC. Roman Republic. Who are the Roman Republic? That's something we ought to know. Now, you have something to research to find out, right? After the last Etrusk king that ruled in Rome was overthrown. Now, this story is a real story, but they tell lies in here about putting a name that is not discovered yet to be a right name. They are putting somebody else there instead of calling the right name of the king that was there. They're talking about the Etruscan, and from, you know, I didn't know at first. I didn't have enough information to suspect that it was wrong, but it was a little confusing when I was, because I did write about it, though, right? And, you know, it wouldn't prevent the story from being respected. But instead of calling the right name of the king, they talk about the Etruscan king, okay? It's a Roman king. That's what it should be. So the overthrown of the king is not Etruscan. It's Tarquinius, okay? The Roman king is Tarquinius. Rome's next government served as a representative democracy in the form of a republic. I guess you understand that if it didn't come out all that well, but basically that's what it is saying. They come in with democracy. Kingship was not democracy at all. Our kingship government is not democracy. The Elohim kingship is not democracy. So what these Europeans are writing, and they up to now, like 2,000 years or so, we have not rebutted them to any respectable way, because we have not been able to talk the truth like you hear me talking it here today. Why? When they hear me as a loner talking about it, you know, they realize, okay, well, you know, I have ways to go before they feel hurt. Well, they can go on and think what they want to think. Well, you know, the tree starts from a little seed and grow into a big tree. And that's what happened. It never come back a little tree. Now, it goes on to say that Rome's next government served as a representative of democracy in the form of republic. Initially, Rome's wealthiest families, the patrician Yes, their first family. Rome's wealthiest families, the patrician, held power, and only they could hold political or religious office on the earth. You imagine this? You don't know what's going on. I'm telling you. Number two, prior to the Republic, they come back with this king Etruscan, the lion, right? Is Tarquinius king, is the real king, who lived near in central Italy, ruled Rome. Once the last of these kings was overthrown in 509 BCE, Rome's wealthiest citizens established a republican government by creating various assemblies of Roman citizens. Come on, read it. Number three, 509 coup. In 509 BC, King Lucius Tarquinius. All right, this is the right guy now, right? Somehow I have it corrected, right? Lucius Tarquinius, they call him Superbus. He's not Superbus. It's a lie. And I am going to strike it out right now. Lucius. He says, yes, he's not Superbus. He's not Superbus. It's a malicious thing that they are doing because they hate the African people. The European, I'm doing all of these whole bunch of nonsense I'm showing you here. All right? Call the king because it's right to do so and wipe out what they do. I still need to do some more wiping out, but right now, this one is much more crucial. King Lucius Tarquinius was overthrown by the noble, you hear this? It's lies, by the gay men. Yeah, it was overthrown by gay men of Rome. You know, of Rome, really. No, of Europe. You see what I mean? Europe. The white men, the gay men of Europe. The king of, the king of Clusium. The king of Clusium. The king of Clusium, Lars Persona, siege Rome. Imagine this now. Imagine this. The city signed a treaty of support with Carthage. So they're going all over the place with this story now, okay? It's not until they're going to come face to face on a day of judgment, and I don't mean in heaven. I mean right here on earth, where they're going to come face to face to someone who they must give account for what they have done to the African people and their kingship government. Nobody has not investigated them yet because Africa is sick with their disease. So nothing happened since 509 BC, we are down and out and have yet to rise. What I'm saying is the beginning of the rising because none of them cannot contradict what I'm saying. The temple of Jupiter, Capitolinus, was consecrated and a new office called Consul was created, my friends. Lucius Tarquinius, this is something here that I'll just leave the link here. Let me leave the link here because anybody who probably can make a link and start picking up something off of it. Lucius Tarquinius, they're still calling him Superboss. I'm not calling him Superboss. Died in 495 BC. Okay? Was the legendary seventh and final king of Rome, reigning 25 years until popular uprising that led to the Lucius Tarquinius overthrow, you see. And they talk about what? Tarquin the Pro. They're calling him all kind of names, and I'm erasing these names because the lie they're telling, and someday, you know, it will be less foolishness to read about them. Yeah, so Lucius Tarquinius was traditionally the seventh and last king. All right, my friends, I got rubbed out now. Time has elapsed, so take good care, and I hope that you have received something beneficial for your intellect. Take good care. Supreme Court to decide whether to kick Trump off ballot. if they don't find it to make sense, your Supreme Court likely, come back. Supreme Court likely to determine Trump's 2004 eligibility soon. What? Soon. Ex-judge. I don't know why that. Trump's daily statements threaten to prejudice jury. So Trump daily statements threatens to prejudice jury pool in DC election case. Him not stopping. Tropical Depression 13 from Atlantic could become powerful hurricane this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Trump is big in the news. Big in the news. And to appear on, yeah, the judicial, the legal debate about the ballot, the justice for, should be allowed before this for conference. Yeah, this guy, I mean, for just the fact that he turned against his own government is enough for them to, put him out. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter who he is, because it's not like he has any personality or any character that serves people best. So I don't see how they're gonna it's too long that they're hanging around with him anyway. Too long. Too long. What a library great did. How to fart out
off your mouth. That's right, man. Great vid on how to without off your mouth. Anymore? With this 8 days ago, somebody say it's very sad when your history is your own African race selling you, and you have to try stealing others' history. It's very sad when your history is your own African race. It is very sad when your own history is your own African race selling you, and you have to try stealing others' history. You know what that means. Yes, we then put them all around here, sir. What's that? Wall of text. Don't care. Stop stealing Kwanzaa, focus on Sub-Saharan African history. It's an identity. Africa is an identity for all the issues in this collective story. Quans, stop stealing Quans. What do you mean by Quans? What is the meaning of Quans? Quans is a word drawn from how Africans say kings. It is often used in the racial context. Tyrone. We better than you, whiteies. Jim, please explain. A word, Quans. Quans is a word drawn from how Africans say kings.